Welcome to Chai with Sam Dosa. You can find me on LinkedIn as Coach Sam UK. I'm a business and emotional intelligence coach. I have been in the industry for past 15 years and I have delivered several hundred courses, spoke in front of 8,000 individuals. So this podcast is all about heart-centered conversation with my guest. I have been blessed to get in front of or to brought in some amazing guests on my podcast. So do check it out. It's called Chai with Sam Dosa. Welcome to Chai with Sam Dosa. Today I have Dr. Nima Ramani all the way from Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And he's, I said earlier that he's in a magical city. And one day I will be there. I've been to Canada, but not to Vancouver as yet. There are some connections over there. So hopefully one day I will be there and see.
For sure. You're Nima. More than welcome.
Face to face, absolutely.
We'll have chai over in Vancouver for sure.
Absolutely, why not? Now we are having a virtual chai over here. So, yes. Dr. Nima, can you tell us what is your journey has been and who Dr. Nima is?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a chiropractor, and talking about this topic of codependency and health, it was a very interesting connection that I made. It was one of those eureka moments. And there's, I talk about it in circles, in the trauma circles, it's just well known. But in the, you know, the field outside, it depends on your level of awareness. It's a really interesting connection. Patients come to see me for stress-related problems. They come, they have, you know, back pains, neck pains, all sorts of digestive issues. And stress is the main problem that brings them to see me as a chiropractor. So over time, I would notice patterns with people mm-hmm. where some people would just get well and it was just easy to work with. And other people, no matter how hard we tried every doctor in the book, they just were stifled in their healing journey. They wouldn't get better. Their digestive problems wouldn't get better. They would have limitation of results from these chronic issues, chronic pain, chronic fatigue. And I would notice these chronic syndromes that would come up. The fibromyalgias, the Lyme disease, the chronic fatigues type of scenarios. And I would get into interviews with these people and I would notice some very similar patterns. And it was just my own observations. And then I started reading Dr. Gabor Mate's work, When the Body Says No, The Cost of Hidden Stress. And then I started really getting into the somatic experiencing healing in healing trauma just for my own interest sake. And I just noticed some patterns and I couldn't ignore it anymore. I had to leave my practice. I started off 10 years ago doing these little workshops in my clinic called Life Skills for a Stressful World. Mm-hmm. And then slowly over time, I noticed the patients that would come to these events, they got better. They took responsibility. It was like a little awakening that they had. And then I realized that I was more keen on supporting those people that wanted to get down to the root cause of their problems rather than just dealing with the end stages. And so now I lead a global community of self-healers mm-hmm. all over the world, from all over the world online. I still have my chiropractic practice and I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm just a guy who's connected some dots together and has created some tools to help empower people to become their own healers. And one of the biggest revelations in that journey is to realize how deeply embedded our childhood woundings are in our behavior, in the way we relate to one another, in the choices that we make, in our ability to set boundaries and say no and to please other people for the sake of approval, annihilate and betray and abandon ourselves, And so the body then, what I discovered is the body then starts to act out in wild, weird, mysterious ways to help awaken us to take priority in ourselves. And so now I just help people awaken the healer within by giving tools to regulate the nervous system and to heal from their past wounding.
Wow. Oh, that's amazing.
That's the journey. That's my journey of healing is like after 20 years of doing this, I realize the healing happens when the person stops looking for a savior outside of them with a white coat or a, you know, whatever, and starts to empower the hero within. That's what I like to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think you touched on so many key areas on this journey, which you said about our body is healer. It have a healing properties. It comes from within ourselves. It's all about attending those healing. We suppress a lot of things. When you talk about chronic fatigue or chronic stress level people go through with, then a lot of, as a chiropractor, you have seen so many people with so many dysfunctional body pattern in their life. And then now you are giving them the tools which they are repairing it.
Yeah.
Themselves.
Yeah. You can't, you won't be able to heal until you address those things. Unless you address those things, you're forever going around from doctor to doctor looking for that savior in the white coat. And I just want to let people know that they don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then one thing which I actually wanted to address over here is about the energies which we captivating inside ourselves, like the dead energies, because that those suppressing energies which we are keeping in our body creates mm-hmm. more problems.
Yep.
So the scenario like you are carrying a grudge for somebody, does it actually, you're giving a free rent-free place in your heart, and they are you are suffering with that. Those people are dancing, those people mm-hmm. are enjoying their mm-hmm. life, but you are the one who is paying the fee, paying the issue, paying the rent for it yourself.
Yeah.
So in your view, this is quite common, I would
yeah.
say.
Yeah, it's the real pandemic. Mm-hmm. Resentment is like taking poison and expecting the other person to die. So what doctor can heal a condition caused because of a relationship breakdown, a betrayal that you feel that you haven't really been able to let go of? What pill, what adjustment, what treatment or therapy can heal a condition that's caused by unresolved guilt that you're holding on to? And so I started noticing these patterns in health problems with people, and I kept trying to wake them up and say, hey, got to address that. And I would see massive resistance. The last thing people wanted to do was to take responsibility for healing those wounds. We get stuck with things that terrible things that happen with us, trauma with a capital T, trauma with a small T. We don't want to address those. We want to leave it in the past. We say things like, can I just leave things in the past? Time will heal those wounds. Time doesn't heal those wounds. Time conceals it. And as much as you'd like to say, let's forget the past is in front of you. And every moment that you get triggered by something externally, it's a past wound that hasn't yet been solved. And so it's time to, you know, time to wake up, take responsibility for those and heal those intergenerational traumas that didn't even start with you, didn't even start with your parents, didn't even start with their parents. It's been downloaded one generation after another, completely unconsciously through no fault of your own, that causes us to abandon ourselves. When we are growing up, we're children, we know that our survival depends on the attachment of our primary caregiver. So if we don't give, you know, we don't experience a caregiver, parents that know how to attune to our emotions, that know how to regulate their own emotions. Their reactivity, their sense of being in the world causes us to have to put on a mask in order to feel safe. So that's where the first self-abandonment happens, is I need to betray myself so that I can please my mother or father, be a good boy, be a, you know, like we aren't taught that just our beingness is worthy of love. It is conditional upon a performance. It's conditional upon specific behavior. And we haven't been taught emotional regulation because we had parents often who didn't know how to emotionally regulate or thought it was important. You know, it was the whole upbringing of spare the rod, spoil the child, or children are to be seen, not heard, you know? So, that causes us to behave our behavior in ways to compensate, to try to please. Or you had parents that were just complete mess with their own emotional challenges, addictions, health problems, chronic illnesses themselves, and you had to perform. You had to take care of your family's emotional needs as a child. You end up being dissociated from yourself and having this chronic conditioned response of pleasing and seeking approval. And so fast forward over decades, it's no wonder why you hit your 20s and 30s and 40s and say, I don't even know who I am. I've been pleasing so much. I've been saying yes. I don't have boundaries, because if I have boundaries, then I'll feel rejected. Or in the past, when I would set a boundary or say no, then I would experience love being withdrawn from me. So there's a whole conditioning that's happened that we hit our middle ages, we have health problems, and we seek outside solutions. And my education is all about helping awaken people to the fact that you think you had choice, but you didn't. You were the product of your parents' wounding and your own. And in order for you to transform that, you got to step up and take responsibility to heal those and solve the relationship challenges that are at the effect of all of these woundings.
Yes. So there is one statement I very often use in my speech as well as in my public speaking, is that we are born to win, but conditioned to fail. So in your view, what percentage do you agree with this statement?
We are born to win. Well, I would reframe that into, we all are born with the capacity. I'd like to use the word capacity, mm-hmm, to heal, to be healthy, to have secure attached relationships that aren't based on codependency. Mm-hmm. We have that capacity. So if we can say that that's a win, I think the greatest win of a human accomplishment is to create secure attached relationships that are nourishing rather than depleting. That's the hallmark. That's probably the holy grail of human existence. From my study, from research on, you know, health and well-being and the importance of relationships, if we can have relationships that feel like a safe space, that are secure, then that's the win. So yes, we're born with the capacity to win. But unfortunately, based on our wounding, we've then developed these complexes. If you were raised in an environment where you had to take care of mom and dad because of an emotional breakdown, because of their relationship breakdown, you had to become a surrogate partner to your mother or father, you then have detached from your own needs and taking care and responsibility for another. You are now setting yourself up to lose. Not lose, but the lesson. You're going to get a lesson, because what happens is then, because that's so familiar to you, you will then be pulled and attracted to that similar type of energy in the opposite sex when it's time to procreate. You have this deep chemical attraction to this person. You don't know what it is. It feels like home. It just so happens that often that's called a trauma bond. Mm-hmm. That person's wounding is similar to your family member's wounding, and you end up trying to, and what happens is we unconsciously seek that because we're trying to finally complete that which was incomplete with our primary caregivers. We end up trying to find the love from our mother or father through our partner. And when it, and that's a losing cause, because at the end of the day, they have their own wounds and they can never make up for the wounding that resulted in that disconnected relationship from your past. So then, you know, we are born with the capacity to create secure attachments, and we are unconsciously finding ourselves falling into these patterns that cause us to fall flat on our face until we wake up and take responsibility. And this reminds me of a quote from one of my favorite authors. His name is James Hollis. He's a Jungian psychologist. He said, "The first half of life is a giant mistake." We think we had authority and control over our lives, but it turns out we didn't. We didn't have choice. We didn't have agency. We were pulled to the familiar because of these patterns that were unresolved, and it becomes our responsibility to break the cycle. Because if we don't, we then pass that on to the kids, and we start to see, oh my God, I promised myself I wouldn't be behaving the same way my parents did, and here I am in the same thing. This happened to me. I thought I would never have a relationship like my parents did, like forget it. And then I got married, and then within 3 years, I was like, oh my goodness, I now have the exact same relationship as my parents did. And I was like, I got to get the hell out of there. That's not the right person. And then I started noticing repeating these patterns, the same cycle again and again, the same argument. It's like, oh, wait, oh my gosh, I'm the one to take response. It's not my fault, but it's my responsibility to wake up and take care of those attachment wounds.
Yeah. So I think in regards to when I said we are born to win, because the winning part was, as you said, the capacity, which is quite an great insert in the understanding of the whole scenario. In understanding, from my point of view, was that we were the winner when we were conceived in the womb of your mother.
Yes.
So you were the first one who fought so many sperms, and you
yes.
So you were the first winner. Even that might be a luck, I would call it.
Yeah,
but
totally.
Then again, then you came into this existence.
It's a beautiful, beautiful analogy.
Correct? And then you were conditioned, because since until you are 5 or 7 years old, your mind is like a sponge. You sponge everything. You, the boy or the girl, will sponge everything. Everything you tell her or told her or teach her, and they have started to active and learn as many languages you teach them, they will learn those things. But we are conditioned again. Your sibling will say something to you. You go to school, your teacher starts saying something to you. Your mother and father start saying to you. There was a study done in America by PhD students about how many times mother or father say no to their children. And it was quite a devastating result. And this is, you know, there was about 300 times they say no. 300 times in a day. To every second. Every time they are saying, no, you can't do this. You can't have this.
Yeah.
You won't be able to achieve this, or sort of thing. So the conditioning is so many conditions we have been done.
Yeah. It's like I'm about to be a father for the first time. We're due in October. Yeah. We're due in October. COVID baby.
Oh my
But, it's interesting, because I remember when I first heard you have children, right?
Yes, I got three. Older children. My daughter is 20, and I got a set of twins, and I got stepdaughters 16.
Beautiful.
And 12, yeah.
Beautiful. I'm a twin as well, so that's great.
Oh,
that's wonderful. So I just remembered, do you remember the first time you heard that baby's heartbeat? What kind of an experience was that? It was just like unbelievable. It's just like, I remember that. I just burst into tears, right? And it's interesting, because even before knowing this child, now this child hasn't paid my rent. This child hasn't given me nothing. Why is it that already I have so much love for this baby. It's because deep down, we are worthy of love just for our existence. Just for existing, we're worthy. But somewhere along the lines, as you just depicted, we detach ourselves from that worthiness, that deserving. We detach ourselves and we feel like we are not enough based on these woundings that happen in the first years of our lives, these unconscious years of our lives. And so the work is to, it's not about learning, it's about unlearning all of that. So what I, the programs that I teach and the focus of what I do is to unlearn all of that conditioned unworthiness. And so it's a lifelong journey to return back to that divinity that we possess, that innocence, that divinity that we possess. Our work is to return to that. And when I discovered that, I had to leave the office and teach people how to return to that. Because if you don't, you're not going to, no healing modality will really work. Absolutely. And the window to how this is all functioning just so happens to be in our relationships. Our relationships will tell us the work we are called on to do.
Absolutely. I think there are so many, as we're talking about codependency and health, and there are a lot of things that are connecting to each other, and it's all like a jigsaw puzzle, and we can't leave one thing and we are trying to finish mm-hmm. the other project. You'll say, oh, well, I started a project. You know what? I just park it and I'll start another project. It doesn't work like that. Because as you said, you know, when you start this process of recovering, you need to check all the areas of your life. You can't just say, oh, I have a knee pain, so I'm going to just focus on my knees.
100%.
Well, my heart is full of
holistic.
Yeah, my heart is full of grudges. I got so many problems going on in my heart, but I do not want to focus on that. I just wanted to focus mm-hmm. on my knee. And your knee will never heal because you got so many things, poison in your body. Your mm-hmm. blood is circulating with poison. How can you just going to start healing? Mm-hmm. So as what you said, that we have to pinpoint each and everything step by step to recover from that. And with your the workshop which you do, and you can elaborate a little bit more about
absolutely. Absolutely. Once you come to this conclusion, you hit the middle ages or you hit a certain age and you realize my relationships aren't working. Mm-hmm. I don't feel nourished in them. My body isn't working. I feel chronic health issues coming on. It's time to heal. And once you get out of that poor me victim state and wanting to blame everyone else, and finally if you're not there, I don't have any interest in working with you yet. It takes somebody who's finally ready to go, yes, I get that things aren't working, but I've been looking for saviors outside. I've been playing the victim. I realize that I'm the victim, I'm the perpetrator, and I want to be the hero. Great. That's good. That's where the journey of healing actually truly begins. And so what happens is I've created this workshop, this methodology that helps train you into taking whatever has been triggering you and bothering you into your current reality and using that as a portal to go inside and make sense of the journey that got you there. Make sense of why you've been pleasing so much and why your body has broken down to wake you up to stop, to be able to finally say no. And so it is a methodology, a tool that is cognitive based, which changes the narrative, but not just intellectually. Most therapies is talking about your past endlessly. This isn't about that. Of course, your family of origin story is important as a context, but what we do is we use that as a framework to go inside and then heal the wounding that was resulted from that story so that you can change the story from the victim to now you're the hero, whole healed individual, sovereign being taking authority of your life again and taking all of those triggers and those woundings and healing those past resentments. One by one, we take people through all of their relationship breakdowns and we find the source of it. We find the wounded inner child and we go and teach them how to rescue that wounded inner child. And when you finally do that, all of a sudden you have a new perspective, you have a new lens on your life. The conflicts that you're seeing around you, you realize they're all just within yourself. The relationship with yourself starts to transform and you start to show up differently, more powerful. You are able to express your voice. You're able to regulate your emotions. You feel a connection to a purpose that's greater than you. And you have the thing that we want the most of all, which is intimacy. The ability to take off the mask and be seen and to be able to hold space for another person to do that. And my trainings are all designed to guide you into that education. Probably the most important education I never received in school. I'm teaching it now to a global community and starting with workshops and online programs.
Amazing, amazing. So these things are never been taught in school or never been taught by anybody else until you go through with your own journey and discover those sort of things. Because within the society or within our own children's life right now, they are only focusing on one thing. They have to focus on their exams and everything. Their mental health being is not being looked after, or they are not being challenged as well because they are spending more time on their laptops or computers or phones and everything else. And because I'm a father as well, and I can see, I was talking to my children, and only thing they are more concerned is just to think about their studies. And I say, okay, that's perfectly fine. You can think about your studies, but what about your health? You are eating junk food. You are not doing any exercise. You are constantly on the phone. The rays are coming from the screen and going into your body. You can imagine what sort of subliminal languages are going on the TV and the movies and everything. You are just absorbing it. You are not aware of what you're absorbing it. So there are a lot of things going in our society. And with this, with the COVID, a lot of conspiracies going on about 5G and this and that. And people are listening to those stupid things. I've completely cut off myself from the media. I'm not listening to those rubbish because I don't want to. I'm not part of that sort of thing. But what I'm trying to gather this all for our generation is that we should be teaching these things in the schools. There should be a part of the curriculum that people are being taught this is what the future lies. There are a lot of things which they are not being aware of. It is something like a foreign language we are talking.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because we go to school and your kids go to school and they're getting their studies and they're focusing on their studies. It's to achieve this elusive dream, often because of a feeling of unworthiness within themselves. We create these vision boards of all of these amazing things we want to get. So then we start to go crazy with studies or whatever, you know, hustle that we have to do in order to achieve them. But very seldom do we have a healthy regulated nervous system on our vision board. If we don't, because the thing is that if we don't have a healthy regulated nervous system, whatever you achieve is not going to actually be enjoyed. So I can resonate with the kids just going hardcore with their studies and eating junk food. It's often because they are endlessly seeking this elusive degree, this elusive status, thinking that that's going to ultimately fulfill them, and they're in for a rude awakening when they achieve all of their dreams and realize they've ticked all the boxes and done all the things and been the good girl or good boy, and so they still feel emotionally disconnected. They feel that they don't have purpose. They've got all the shiny things, but they're not really fulfilled, and that's where this education comes in, is nervous system regulation and healing your past and emotional regulation and emotional connection with those younger forgotten parts that were abandoned a long time ago. That is the holy grail. That is the foundation of it, as far as I'm concerned. So I'm on a mission to educate people about that.
I think I've started doing education about emotional intelligence because this is also a very, very important part of our existence. We are talk about IQ, And then we don't talk about EQ. Why not? We are talking about EQ. EQ is more important than IQ. If you are a sort of a director of a company or a CEO of the company, if you don't have EQ, how are you going to support the entire people who are following you? Yeah, you are just thinking about yourself. I'm all right. That's it. I don't care about anybody else. I have enough food in my house. I get enough salary coming in or enough bonuses I'm receiving. Why should I care about the rest of the people? So I think the EQ area is very important as well. That's what I'm planning to do, is to teach a lot of things within the younger sector as well, because you have to start to know your own emotions. Yeah, it's very easy for verbalizing so much negativity from our mouth, which you know that once it goes, it will not come back. But the amount of damage is going to do to somebody, as then we have started capturing those grudges in ourselves. Oh, you see, this guy has said something to me. I'm going to keep it to myself. I'm not going to open it up with you. I'm just going to face to face say to you, you know what? I didn't like it with the way you said to me, the way you talk to me. Yeah, because that's what is happening within the office as well. Because what we do, our boss says something to us. We just receive it. We do not have to challenge it. We just have to keep it. And then what we do, we bad mouthing this person to somebody else. Yeah. So yeah, we are keeping so many things within ourselves.
Yeah, you're talking about the drama triangle. And we have them. We just haven't been modeled how to do conflict well. And so conflict usually meant not speaking for days, a withdrawal of love. We haven't been modeled how to conflict and then repair. We haven't been modeled how to repair. And those broken conflicts that haven't been resolved in the body are where chronic illnesses happen. And it all comes back to feeling this enmeshment with others, that we're emotionally enmeshed. We don't know how to separate our feelings from another person. And so we become completely codependent on another person. Our emotions become their emotions. Their upsets become our upsets. And without the boundaries, without the knowledge of how to set those boundaries and how to separate ourselves and how to resource ourselves, we then go into pleasing others, and then this creates destruction in our relationships and then health. And then we seek opinions of doctors for those problems. And I just love going upstream and teaching people how to do conflict well.
I think what happened is the things which you talk about is codependency or the boundaries. I was in rack with my three children. I brought them up because my ex-wife was there, but was not there. Physically was there, but mentally she wasn't there. I was the one as the breadwinner, as well as the person who was the mother and the father. So I brought them up, and it was very difficult for me to, when we divorced after 17 years of marriage, it was very difficult for me to disconnect myself with them. And I did not set any boundaries with them as well. So they were taking advantage of each and every time. They will give them sort of an emotional card and this emotional charge. And then the mother sent an emotional charge. And I was like getting so frustrated about my own existence. Even I was living about 2 hours away from them, it was becoming so much toxic. Every weekend I have to collect them, a 2 hour journey I have to do. I have to shut down my work pattern and all sorts of things, trying to get to those sort of things. It's been last 7 years I've been going through with this. And since last year, I started to putting boundaries. But they don't like it because there were no boundaries before. And suddenly, dad is putting boundaries. What is this? We don't like it. And that's where I started to put my foot down. And I said, listen, this is how it's going to be. Because I'm learning. I've learned a lot. I've gone through with, there was a time when I was vomiting and in the loo while they are sitting in the TV lounge and watching movies, because I was taking all their bad energies in myself and thinking that I'm the culprit. I'm the one who is not giving them enough. I'm the one who is not. So I've taken so much so that I've got so ill, then realizes this is not the right thing to do. So I started putting boundaries. It was difficult for me to put boundaries.
This is one of the things in codependency. It sounds like you had a codependent relationship with your kids, which is totally, understandable given all of the stuff that you went through. And part of healing codependency is learning how to regulate guilt. the guilt is what stops us from setting a boundary. The guilt is what stops us from speaking up. The guilt is what stops us from speaking our truth, because we fear rejection. We fear hurting other people. And so, you know, this is the dance. You know, it's a very fine line between speaking your truth and understanding that when you set a boundary, those who won't benefit from that new boundary are not going to like it. And it's a change in the step of the dance, which is going to cause you to bring feelings of guilt up. If you don't know the tools of how to regulate that guilt, you're going to keep abandoning and betraying yourself and betraying yourself and betraying yourself. And so the health issues that come up are a natural result of you betraying yourself. It's kind of like your body telling you to F off. Yes. Screw you for betraying me all this time. I now am sick. And so you can't betray me anymore. I'm going to die. The more you've been betraying and annihilating me so much that I'm, if you keep going, I'm going to die. That's the message of the body. It's a wake-up call for us to start learning how to set boundaries and learning how to become okay when other people aren't approving of us. Yeah. It was such a huge revelation. I was like, after 20 years, if I could sum it all up, is the thing that is the most threatening to our health is the fear of what other people think of us.
Oh yes. Oh yes. I think
it's the most threatening thing to your health is the fear of what other people think of us.
I think, and another thing is that people, as in a relationship, we started comparing ourselves with others in a different areas, not only with the careers, with this, what sort of a capacity of the car or what sort of the house they are living, what sort of a clothes sort of they are wearing and everything. And we're looking at and we're trying to mirror them instead of not realizing that that's not what you want to be, why you are having a facade or a mask on yourself, which is not really you. Yeah, you're pretending to be somebody else. You don't want to show yourself the real picture, because I think you are afraid of showing your own real picture to yourself. That's why you are always putting a lot of facade or a lot of makeup on yourself and then saying, you know, this is what I am. Take it or leave it, sort of things.
And that's really difficult to, that's easier said than done. I remember I was in a Facebook group and somebody wrote down a question that says, is there anybody who can give me a book on how to stop caring about what other people think? And it's like, oh my gosh, if only it was that easy to read a book or listen to a podcast or even an interview and then go, oh, I just read this book. Now I don't care about what other people think. It doesn't work that way. No. It takes a lot of work to get to that point. And that's what the overview method is really all about. It's to get yourself to the point of connection with yourself and resource with yourself that you can actually say the words, I'd rather have the whole world against me than my own soul. And you can actually get to that point, and it's still painful for me, but my resilience to what other people think of me has become a lot less since I started practicing these, what I call trigger-proof tools. It's called becoming trigger-proof. How do you stop caring? Well, you learn the tricks of becoming trigger-proof, of being able to speak your truth and know that other people are going to have their experience of it. That takes a great deal of intestinal fortitude. It takes a great deal of emotional regulation, takes a great deal of self-intimacy, takes a great deal of a deep knowing of who you are. It doesn't happen on the other side of just listening to a podcast. It's deep inner work to get there, and that's what this is all about.
Amazing, amazing. So I would like you to tell my audience how they can connect with you.
Yeah.
And also, is there anything which you would like to offer which they can be able to connect with you in terms of getting those information? And I will put those information on
absolutely,
my description as well. Yeah, please.
Yeah, I'll give you the link. Mm-hmm. attend the Overview Experience. It's a 5-hour retreat that happens, and I introduce you to the tools of breaking free from those codependent patterns, finding the source of the intergenerational trauma, using the tools to heal those attachment wounds so that you can create healthy relationships that are not based on the narcissist codependent cycle, that are more geared towards healthy interdependence, communication strategies, regulating the nervous system. All of that is in my Overview Experience virtual workshop, and I do them every month. And if people are really keen and they're committed to going inside and taking responsibility, it's really not about fixing you. There's nothing broken about you. This is just about unlearning some of these conditioned patterns. And so I show you the steps in how to do that. I also have a free Facebook group that I'll send you the link. It's called Trigger Proof. Let me just...
Just send me an email later on. Send me your email. I will get everything in this place as well. So that's absolutely beautiful, because I think that will help a lot of people to become dependent on themselves instead of codependency of others.
100%.
Because that's where a lot of people, I've met so many people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 80s, and they are suffering with so many things going on at the moment. And they always think of this thought process, I'm taking that medicine. I say, listen, what you are doing, actually, you are putting a bandage.
Yeah,
you are putting a bandage on this. You are not going into this problem where it's the source, because you are carrying so many. And you said, I want to do I want to run a marathon. How can you run a marathon when you got so much luggage on your shoulder?
Exactly. So this is actually learning the tools and taking those rocks out of the backpack.
Yes.
So that, I mean, life is a climb at its very best. It's a climb. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure as you're climbing, number one, you have a guide that's walked that path.
Yeah.
Number two, that you actively use tools to remove the luggage, remove the baggage, remove the rocks from your backpack. Mm-hmm. And so here it is. The website's right there. It'll have the listing of the upcoming Overview Experience workshop.
Okay.
It's right there. And love to have, if you're inspired and you feel called and you want to actually start the process of taking responsibility for healing your attachment wounds, you feel stuck in your relationship, you're noticing these codependent patterns, you feel like you're disconnected from purpose, you don't have an ability to emotionally regulate, this is the starting point.
Amazing.
It's a process. Amazing. It's not an overnight quick fix, but you're going to learn the tools, and you know, that's where it all is. And if you actually, if somebody is listening, because I do podcast interviews a lot, I get messages, people say they feel a connection immediately. They say, what you said spoke to me. A lot of times people are in tears because, you know, it resonated so deeply. If there's an inner voice calling you and this is something you wanted to actually hop on a phone and possibly talk to me about, I have the little link there, drnima.com/discovery. You can hop on, you can apply and possibly hop on a call.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You can see about getting our help in transforming that entire story.
Yeah, absolutely. I will put this all in the description. So now I would like to ask you three questions regards to you.
Sure.
Just a short answer. What's your favorite food?
Persian kebab. Kubideh. Good kebab kubideh. Well, obviously my mother's cooking is my favorite, but I love kebab kubideh. Is like if I was on death row and I had one last meal that I was before they execute me, I've already planned the meal. I've already made my order.
What's your, if you have a hobby, what is your hobby at this present moment?
My hobby is teaching. It's my passion. I absolutely love it. I have this Facebook group called Trigger Proof where I literally do a teaching every day because it's my hobby. I love giving information and
amazing.
All that.
Amazing. Lifelong learner and teacher.
100%.
We are all teachers. We are all students of life. So we are just learning. We are just getting everything in there, us.
That's it.
And do you watch movies? If there is a movie which you say that is the movie which I would like to watch again and again and again, which one would be?
Yeah,
that?
You know what? I was just talking to my wife about this movie, and I just was moved to tears when I thought about it. It's by M. Night Shyamalan. Uh-huh. You know M. Night Shyamalan?
No.
This movie, Mel Gibson is in this movie.
Okay.
Okay. You gotta watch this tonight.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. The movie is called Signs.
Signs, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
With Mel Gibson.
Okay.
Fantastic story. Unfortunately, none of his other movies, M. Night Shyamalan, really did it. I was so impressed with this movie. Mm-hmm. It blew my mind. You really have to message me after and let me know what you think. But Signs is probably, I got goosebumps just thinking about it.
Oh, wow.
And the way that it all kind of comes together at the end and is a very spiritual type of message to mm-hmm, it. So mm-hmm. I really, that's what I love.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. So today I had an amazing guest all the way from Vancouver on my podcast, Chai with Sam Dosa. We did enjoy our chai as well, which Dr. Dima was having in
Cheers.
The morning. Cheers.
Cheers. Yeah, it is chai. I'm actually having a tea.
Yeah. So we talk about codependency health, and he has actually gone through with some amazing areas where he talked about areas which we are going through with our chronic illnesses and a couple of other things which have been detailed in this podcast. So please listen to the podcast where you will get a lot of wisdom from Dr. Nima today. And I'm going to be putting all his links so you will be able to get in touch with him with a discovery call as well as a couple of other areas which you can join with him and connect with him. And this is your host, Sam Dosa. Thank you for listening. And